Good morning, everyone. From today's Dancing with Shiva lesson, Sloka 30, how do Hindus understand moksha? The destiny of all souls is moksha, liberation from rebirth on the physical plane. Our soul then continues evolving in the Antarloka and Shivaloka and finally merges with Shiva like water returning to the sea. Moksha comes when earthly karma has been resolved, dharma well performed, and God fully realized. I call this Gurudeva's long definition of moksha. It has three items. Sometimes he defines moksha just with two. But this time he gives it three aspects. God fully realized, that's, I think, the most self-evident one. To achieve moksha, we have to realize God fully. Resolving all karma, that one's obvious too. We have to keep getting reborn until there's no more karma that needs to be worked out on earth. So we need to resolve all our karma. But the third one is one that we might not think of, dharma well performed. So Gurudev explains that in the next sentence. What does dharma well performed mean? Each soul must have performed well through many lives, the varna dharmas or forecasts, and lived through life's varied experiences in order not to be pulled back to physical birth by a deed left undone. In other words, we need to experience different things. Otherwise, we'll be pulled back. The lack of certain experiences is enough to pull us back. So we're here not only to achieve moksha, but to have all the experiences needed that earth has to offer. So that's dharma well performed. We need to have experience. All souls are destined to achieve moksha, but not necessarily in this life. Hindus know this and do not delude themselves that this life is the last. While seeking and attaining profound realizations, they know there is much to be done in fulfilling life's other goals, purusharthas, dharma, righteousness, artha, wealth, and kama, pleasure. In other words, those are the experiences we're supposed to have, unless we're a monk. Artha, wealth, and kama, pleasure, governed by dharma. We pursue them both in a way that's dharmic. So the three comprise the guidance we need to fulfill dharma, pursuing artha and kama in a dharmic way. Old souls renounce worldly ambitions and take up sannyasa in quest of parashiva, even at a young age. Toward life's end, all Hindus strive for self-realization, the gateway to liberation. In other words, in the sannyasa ashrama, the guideline is age 72, but these days we're living and working so long, we might still be working at age 72. The sannyasa ashrama really starts when you no longer think about earning money. That is taken care of. You're just living off what you've earned. That's when the sannyasa ashrama starts. We call it retirement, but some people work just for the fun of it these days, so it's not quite so cut and dried, particularly if you're self-employed. But it starts, sannyasa ashrama starts when you're no longer thinking about earning money. That's done, and therefore you have more free time. And it's natural to put some of that extra free time into extra religious practices. So that's what it's suggesting here. After moksha, subtle karmas are made in inner realms and swiftly resolved, like riding on water. That's the dilemma, if you've ever thought about it. It's catch-22 that to resolve karma, you have to act. But if you act, you're creating more karma, right? So therefore, isn't karma endless? I resolve this karma, and so doing, I act again and create a new karma. It's a more refined karma, but aren't I just constantly creating more and more refined karmas that the cycle is endless? So this is saying, no, at the end, subtle karmas are made in inner realms and swiftly resolved. So like riding on water, you acted, but the reaction is gone as soon as the motion of the water stops. That's what happens for an advanced soul. There's a reaction, but it dissolves almost instantaneously. Therefore, you're not creating a karma to resolve in the future. You already resolved it at the time of the action. At the end of each soul's evolution comes Vishvagrasa, total absorption in Shiva. The Vedas say, if here one is able to realize him before the death of the body, he will be liberated from the bondage of the world. There's a very nice story in the Upanishads. I think it's Mundaka Upanishad. Talks about charitable deeds. And it says, charitable deeds get you into heaven, which is wonderful, because you've earned punyam. But eventually that punyam runs out and you get reborn. So how do you end up in heaven permanently? Charitable deeds won't do it. So it gives two ways. One is going into the forest and doing tapas, and the other is finding a guru and studying under him as a sannyasin. So the sannyasa path is what's talked about, or renunciation of the world. It's the only way you can get out of that cycle, because punyam runs out. Won't keep you there forever. But as this points out, the whole writing, you know, there's really two paths, and it's one of the points that's not that well understood. When I attended the students gathering, Hindu Students Association gathering in Texas, I gave a 2-hour presentation, and they submit questions ahead of time, and then I write up the answers and hand them a printout, and we talk about it in an effort to talk about what they're actually interested in, because it's very easy just to talk about what you're interested in, right? And the students aren't interested in that at all. So it's an effort to try and avoid that problem. We go through that process, and two of them ask the question, the world is Maya, we're supposed to be detached from it. I said, well, that's mixing up the two paths. The sannyasin is detached from the world, but the householder is very much involved in the world, but pursuing goals in the world, which is artha and kama, in a dharmic way. That's not detachment, that's dharma. So it's a confusion, trying to live like a sannyasin but being a householder. You know, the family person is supposed to become wealthy and share that wealth, supposed to enjoy life, but in a dharmic way. And the sannyasin is supposed to bypass that. So two different approaches. One last thought here that relates from Patanjali. Verse 18, chapter 2. What is experienced as the characteristics of brightness, activity, and inertia? That's a translation of sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. It is embodied in the elements and the sense organs. Its purpose, meaning the world, experiencing the world, is to provide both experience and liberation. So potentially saying the same thing. We're here to have a certain amount of experience, and then we start looking for realization. But the experience part, which Gurudev calls fulfilling all dharma, is an important part. So we don't want a shortcut, and think we can stop experiencing things too early on. We have to experience things in a dharmic way, or learn to go through life without getting upset by it. That's that chapter on self-control in the Thirukkural. It says, greater than a mountain is a man who in his domestic state achieves self-control. Meaning if you're single and living by yourself, it's easy to be self-controlled. But if you're married and have three kids who are young, boy, is it harder. But that's the challenge, is to learn self-control. It's easy to be peaceful in a quiet place, but to learn to be peaceful in a very busy place, that's the next step. Once you can be peaceful in a quiet place, you have to hold that peace in a place that's not peaceful on the outside. So that's experience. We need to gain maturity through experience, and then we naturally turn within. Seek liberation. Wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.